Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is a podcast from 720 to go.
We're
WGN Radio.
The voices in your head.
Time to enter the world of John Williams.
Senator John McCain's in our studio. New book out that he's promoting that he and Mark Salter have written. This is their latest, Character is Destiny, inspiring stories every young person should know and every adult should remember.
Thanks for having me on, John. And one more person that I wanted to mention in the book was Wilma Rudolph. She had polio. She's one of 20 children.
Yeah.
And she could hardly walk when she was a child, and she ended up being an incredible Olympic champion and a wonderful role model.
Is John McCain the object of one of these stories?
Yeah, I tell about an experience I had in prison with the gun guard, what we call one of the sentries that was in the prison in Hanoi that I was there. And very briefly, I was being punished one night by the North Vietnamese, and he was tied up in ropes very tightly, which was one of their methods. And this guard, who was just a gun guard, like a sentry, I never had encountered him in any way, came in and loosened the ropes and then came and tightened them up again. And a couple months later was Christmas Day, and I was allowed outside of my cell for a few minutes, which was a treat. And I was standing there, and it was in this courtyard-like, and he came over and with his sandal drew a cross on the ground as we were standing there, and he stood there with me for a couple of minutes, and then he rubbed it out and walked away. For a brief moment there, we worshiped together in a kind of bonding that was uplifting and wonderful. And I never saw him again.
How do you explain that? What was going on?
He was a Christian.
Yeah.
He was a Christian, and he wanted to worship with me on Christmas Day.
But how do you explain that that's your captor, what is historically one of the worst?
Well, I think, you know, his job in the prison was basically as a sentry. He was not an interrogator or one that
he did not torture
abused
you.
Us. No. That abused us in any way. He was just basically a sentry, and obviously he had deep Christian values and
so things. What was your reaction to that? Was it thanks?
I was always deeply moved. I was deeply moved and very grateful.
But how could you not resent that? Here's a guy who he's one of the reasons you're there. He's a sentry.
But he was in an environment where obviously he was going to be drafted and be in the army. And
so even at that time, you saw his place in the big picture, and you did not resent him per se.
And he took a great risk when he came in the middle of the night and loosened the ropes that were tightly tied by. He would have been punished if he had been caught doing that.
How sophisticated were the means of torture that they instigated?
No, fairly so. I mean, it depended on the interrogator. Some were very good at their work and enjoyed it, and others, it was sort of a routine.
Do you have a clear recollection of all of that?
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely. I have a clear recollection of it because some of the most wonderful moments of my life I experienced in prison with my comrades, where I was privileged to observe 1,000 acts of courage and compassion and love. Like a Christmas Eve.
That seems like a weird question then, but the reason I ask is I wonder if that's the way the mind sometimes copes, is to block it out.
Well, it wasn't so much that blocked it out, we bonded, we were together, we communicated with each other by tapping on the walls in other ways, and we gave each other strength. See what I mean?
Is the story true that you were offered on more than one occasion the opportunity to get out early, but you said not until the people who have been here longer than me get out first, will I then leave?
That happened, seriously, and yes, and it was also our code of conduct. We have a code of conduct that says you return according to order of capture.
But after that, your capturer said, now it will be very bad for you, Mr. McCain.
And it was. And it was, yeah.
And you knew that was what was going to happen.
Yeah, I did.
We want to take some phone calls, too.
Good. Look forward to it.
And as we do, let's just comment on the point that you were talking about before. You were describing what torture was like for you when you were being held in Hanoi. And I ask you if the U.S. should adhere to the U.N. policy. The Condoleezza Rice said that we will Should that be also made law?
Well, it should be, because there have been a lot of ambiguities, and there's been charges of torture and cruel and inhumane treatment, including the pictures from Abu Ghraib and others. And look, we're in two kinds of wars here. One is military with the in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the other is for the hearts and minds of the people. And we are in an ideological struggle, and we can't go around torturing people.
But Senator, 65% of the American people said this week in a survey that at least in some instances.
Mm-hmm.
Information, yeah. We should do it. What's your reaction to that?
My reaction to that is that I watch 24 all the time, and I see how Jack Bauer has to blow somebody's kneecap off or inject him with something to get the... But that's not real world. There's a million-to-one chance that that happens. If that came up, then I think that you should do whatever is necessary. But that's a far cry from setting up prisons in Eastern Europe and systematically keeping people for years.
Understood,
look,
but does
it... let me just say, the next American, if you allow this kind of thing exception, the next American that's captured in the next war, they're going to say, this guy has information we need, and torture him. That's why literally every retired military guy, including General Colin Powell, have said, we've got to prohibit this torture.
But they are doing it to our guys in some instances anyway,
aren't they? In some instances, yes, but I would argue that there's many times where they don't, because of the fear that... If they did it and do it, that's one thing, but if they think that they have a license to do it...
Because we're doing it, too.
Yeah, and torture doesn't work. Any expert will tell you that physical torture doesn't work, because somebody will tell you anything they want to tell you, what they think you want to hear to stop the physical pain. There's a recorded story. I mean, there's an example. There was a guy that was at least treated very cruelly and tortured, who gave information that later got into the argument for going to war in Iraq. He recanted that information later on. So it's not reliable. The Israelis don't torture, and God knows they have threats all the time.
Who was it that was speaking for the administration the other day? Stephen Hadley?
Steve Hadley, yeah.
And he, I thought, vacillated a little bit, deferring to the sovereignty of other nations if they're going to do the torture. That's their business. Does the United States sometimes ship off prisoners to other countries where they will be tortured at our behest?
I don't know that for a fact. I've been told that. I don't know why someone would be shipped off to Romania or Poland, which is what I read in the newspapers. I have no secret information for any other reason except to be able to treat them in ways that they couldn't on U.S. soil or in U.S. territory. I don't know what other reason.
If that is true, what is your reaction to that?
My reaction is that it's got to stop. Right now, there's a big crisis between us now and the Federal Republic of Germany, because we kidnapped a guy in Germany, kept him for months, I think, in Egypt. I'm not sure. And found out he's innocent.
Here's a phone call. Joe's in Arlington Heights with Senator John McCain. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Senator. Hi, Joe. Thank you for all of your service to our nation.
Thank you, Joe.
And continued success to you with your efforts in the Senate. My concern is the continued insistence by the Vice President that torture has to be kept as an option. And based on your experience and what you've just talked about in the last few minutes, and our reputation in the world as a result of insisting on torture, why do you think the Vice President is continuing to insist on
and the Secretary of Defense, too,
option?
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that Dick Cheney is a patriotic American. I've known him for 25 years, and he loves this country as much as I do. I just think he's wrong. Let me just give you a brief vignette, John. There's a guy named General Jack Vesey. He served 46 years in the United States Army. He got a battlefield commission early in World War II. He was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's fought in many wars, and I don't know how many battles. I was out in Minnesota two weekends ago at a dinner for Iraqi veterans and their families, and I said to him, I said, General, what about the torture issue? He said, any information that we might gain through the use of cruel, inhumane, or treatment or torture could never be counterbalanced by the damage it does to the image of the United States of America. Mm. Now, General Vesey, General Colin Powell, General Shalley Kashvili, all of these people who should know about military information and value and all that kind of stuff, all are adamantly opposed. Why are they adamantly opposed? Because they worry about the next American that's captured.
At the press conference last week, Peter Pace Rice, the general, and the Secretary of Defense, Mr. Rumsfeld, came to a disagreement about whether or not American soldiers have a responsibility to stop torture if they see it. And the Secretary said they should report it, and the general said, no, they should stop it. And I thought, if these two guys don't know what we should be doing, there's a red flag.
Well, I've been very critical of Secretary Rumsfeld for the conduct of this war, and that's another criticism I have. And of course, if you see someone breaking the law, you should stop them.
But
if you see somebody, you should stop it. What's this report?
Well, but isn't the conundrum, Senator, that war is a weird thing? It's okay to shoot them dead with your gun.
That's right.
But if you have them in a chair, then you cannot make life unpleasant for them, with the ends being that maybe you get information that'll keep somebody else from getting killed.
Countries in the world got together in Geneva and signed what they call the Geneva Conventions for the Treatment of Prisoners of War. And these terrorists are not POWs, because they don't fight for a country. They don't wear uniforms. That's where it's become a murky area. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And in other wars, they wore a uniform, or in the case of the Viet Cong, black pajamas, but they were prisoners, and we were in a war, even if it was undeclared. In this case, these people, they don't have any country. They're just a group of terrorists that want to destroy America. And so I have some sympathy. But the fact is, we signed an agreement under President Reagan that said we won't practice torture. We signed the agreement on the rights of man when we joined the United Nations. And all of those things prohibit torture under any circumstances. So, why do you think the Israelis, who face threats of suicide bombers every day,
so I understand,
don't practice torture?
And do they not? I understand their stated policy is that they do not. Do you believe that's the case also?
I believe that's the case. And I talked to the Israeli defense minister. He said, we use psychological techniques, and that's more successful.
The preceding was a production of 720 to Go.
Turn on WGN Radio weekday afternoons at 3, and you'll find yourself inside the world of John Williams.
On 720 WGN.